This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Hot?
Hot. 112, 113. I mean, I consider that a little warm.
Yes. Wow. I got up, I think it was yesterday, and they said, oh, it could be up to 115. I said, no, that's just not even possible.
Uh-huh. And here I was just talking to someone this week about we had missed that. You know, the last few years hadn't had it that high, and then suddenly it's 112 degrees.
So it's your fault is what it is.
It might be. I don't know. But it is a little bit warm. Have you been trying any of the eggs on the sidewalk?
No, but I think I should.
I guarantee you can do it.
I bet I could cook eggs and bacon and pancakes right there out front.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a problem. And a crowd would gather. They want to watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We could sell plates for $5.
That's right. I mean, it'd be an interesting concept.
Yeah, it would. It'd be great.
But, you know, they do other things on Saturday. Why not that?
Well, I know. I don't know if that's ever been done.
Well, see, you never know till you try.
I know. We could be the first.
We could be the first. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, you can also always go to the website at AmericanFinancialMidland.com where you can find case studies from past investments, see exactly what investors have been making. You can read all kinds of testimonials and read about people's past experiences. This is all about making your money, growing your money, so you can retire happy, wealthy, and healthy. Not necessarily in that order, but you want to retire early and you want to make sure that you're really in a good shape to do it.
That's right. And I've had several people say this week, well, I retired early, but my wife said, please go back to work. You know, the wives are not happy when you're home all day long.
That is not a financial decision. That is something else.
That's right. It was not a financial decision. But two different men told me this week.
Really?
So my wife said, look, both of us cannot be in this house 24 hours a day. One of us has got to go. So, yes, they're encouraging them to go back to work.
Yeah. It's always
something.
It's different when you go back to work because you want to or your spouse wants you to as opposed to having to.
One of the guys was a teacher.
Really?
And he retired early. He was happy. At the end of a year, she said, this isn't going to work. You know, you've got to go back. And he said, well, I don't even know if they'd want me now. And they did, and he went back to work.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's got that cushion over there so that he knows at any time if he wants to just walk away or if the school closes or whatever, he has the financial freedom to go ahead and do that.
That's right. And he's got enough money, so he's not in there trying to make a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, he's doing
it for the
enjoyment.
His money. He just needs something to do.
Yeah.
Keep him out of the house for about 6 hours. Give him something to do.
Yeah.
And the other fellow said his wife, you know, he retired for 2 years, and he has went back to work.
Really?
Yeah. And he was in the oil business, and he's back doing consulting work.
Oh, wow.
So that keeps him out of the house all day, you know. And I've always told these men, don't retire early. Mm-hmm. When you do, your wife is going to be unhappy.
Now, did they take some time? Like, did they take like that year or two to travel, or did they do fun things? Or
they did. They traveled. They did a lot of things, but they got bored. Mm-hmm. There was just so much they could do.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we've done everything we wanted to do. Now one of us has got to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And of course, I think the women should have went to work and left the men home. You know. That would have been a different experience.
Yeah, that would have been a little different than
it
normal.
Would have been. It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that might have been a good thing. But, yes, we want people to retire early and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say early, I'm talking about 67.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about 55.
Yeah, that's way too early.
That's way too early.
That's like 12 years of activities that you've got to plan to make sure that you're busy.
Yeah, and nobody, I don't believe a person can retire at 55, 56 and stay home.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can find enough to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can only travel so long. You can only play with the grandkids so long.
Yeah.
You know, and go places with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once you've taken them to Disneyland, you know, that's about the biggest thing you can do.
Yeah.
So then you've got to figure out something else to do. You know? Yeah.
You have that phase, I assume, when you retire where you sleep in a little bit, you kind of take it easy for a few weeks, and then you do your traveling, and then it's like, okay, now what?
That's right. Then they say, what do we do now?
Yeah.
You can only drink so much coffee down at the corner coffee shop. Yeah. You know, you go visit your friends down there, but they're going to tell you the same old stories.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever noticed that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, when they retire, the stories are the same.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to tell them over and over.
Yes.
So finally, you need to go do something else.
Yeah, you got to make new stories.
You need new stories.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we had another maturity this week.
Really?
The Jenkins policy matured.
Really?
And, yeah, we've had so many mature this summer, more than we've ever had in our life.
It seems like it's very, very aggressive this year. Policies are coming in early, and there's a big number of them.
There has really been a big number. And people all across the spectrum were in these policies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had some that had 10 people, some 20 people. So we just had a lot of them.
And for those that don't really know, this is all about really investing in life insurance policies. So when we say these policies have matured, that's what we're talking about. And what happens is you get these policies, and people can invest in them.
That's exactly right. And the way it works from start to finish is people come to us who have a life-threatening cancer,
mm-hmm.
okay? So they have stage 4 cancer. They need the money. And it may be $1 million policy. It might be $5 million. It might be $100,000.
Yeah.
And they need to sell these to get some cash. So when they come to us, you know, we look at the policies. We look at, you know, everything about them. Hopefully their term life. That is the cheapest. Whole life policies is accumulating cash all the time, and we don't need it to accumulate cash. We just need a straight deal, you know, where it's going to pay when they pass away.
Yeah.
And we look at it. We do the life expectancies. We have three companies that do life expectancies. We read about them, and if we think that it's serious enough, we're going to bid on it. We don't get everyone we bid on, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, you know, we're trying to start closing on this $4 million one we bought.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're trying to start getting all the people in debt. We're getting organized for that. And then we did some little ones this week.
Uh-huh.
But when we do this, the people know up front what they're going to make. They know that we pay approximately 1% a month. Okay? So if it's 24 months, you're going to get 24%. If it's 15 months, you'll get 15%. So the ones that have come due lately, we've had two or three that were supposed to be, you know, 25, 30 months. They came in 2 months.
Really?
Yes. Again, this Jenkins came in. I think Jenkins is one of those that we hadn't had very long either.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you look at these policies when you get them, you know, when you're trying to decide whether you want to bid on them or not, and you start looking at them and the doctors say, okay, we expect them to go this long before the policy matures, and then you look at it, and sometimes you agree, and sometimes I assume you may think it may be a little more, maybe a little less. So how does that comparison work out? I mean, especially when you see something come in after 2 months.
Well, we look at it and we examine it and say, okay, which type of cancer was it that just came in? Well, usually it's pancreatic, because mm-hmm. pancreatic is so fast. It's a killer that just, you know, it's very quick. I think the two pancreatic ones that came due, one of them came due in 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think one was like 12 months.
And how much were they expected to be?
One was 18, and I think one was 29 months.
Wow.
We had two that came in that were 30 months.
So that is extremely early.
It is really early. So we're examining those. We're really studying those right now to see why why they did come in so early.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctors missed it. We liked the policy. We bought it. We thought it was good at 24, 27 months.
Sure.
So it really became good when it was 2 months.
Yeah, I bet that's probably a surprise. You probably, I would assume you get the phone call that says, hey, the policy has matured, and you turn around and say, well, we just signed the deal and we just got people into it. That's not even possible.
So, that's exactly right. We just got them in it and then it came due.
Yeah.
So we were really impressed this week, I can tell you.
So when you have a policy that's, say, 15 months, for example, and it does come in due, the people still make the 15%, but they just do it much, much faster.
They made it in 2 months
rather
than 12 months or 15 months. That's mm-hmm. what that amounts to. And we had two that were 15%.
Yeah,
that should have been over a year.
Yeah,
and then we had two that were 27 to 30 months, and they came in just a very few months.
And that allows people to go ahead and turn around and invest in other policies, which means they can grow their money even faster.
That's exactly right. They can grow it a lot faster because in 1 year they're going to be able to invest in more than one policy.
Mm-hmm.
That policy we've rolled it that second time.
How many, say in the course of a year, how many policies would an average investor be in?
Well, usually, you know, we're diversified.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have them in four or five policies, you know. And this year, we've had several people that have been in three that has matured.
So they're somewhat staggered when you get them in. So they're not all in at once, and then they all don't mature at once. It's like, you know, there may be a few months and then something will mature, and then a few more months, maybe something else will mature. So there's always money that's moving.
Usually there is. As I said, we've had a lot of people that were in, you know, several of these policies.
Mm-hmm.
So they got paid two or three times this year already.
Wow.
And that doesn't usually happen that way.
Yeah. So this is when we say that these policies have come very early. This is great. It's fantastic news. However, it's really not the norm. I mean, it can happen, but on the other hand, policies can also go over.
Well, that's right, and we've had some go over, and it can happen because it's not an exact science.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the doctor says we believe this person will live 18 months, they may live 23 months.
Yeah,
it can happen, but it doesn't happen very often. But right now, things are different than last year. They're maturing early right now, very short, which last year I think they were like, you know, coming in 12 months, 18 months, okay, on an average.
Mm-hmm.
We had 27 million mature last year.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, 27 million.
That's an awful lot of money that people
made. It was. People got paid a lot of money. Remember Whitworth that came in October? We had 33 people in that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, they did very good. And then we had the Lombardi, if you remember, just before the end of the year
that
came due. So we had two big ones right there at the end of the year.
How much was that Lombardi for? I remember it was big.
I believe Lombardi was $5
million. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was. They were incredible policies. They came in early. People got paid early. So they made extra money.
What do you, and I know you probably won't be able to analyze this from a doctor's point of view, but what would you say might be one of the big contributing factors to this trend of several of these policies coming in early?
Well, I think one thing is that people were sicker than they thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had two policies we were trying to buy this week, and the people both passed away before we ever got the documents signed.
So that's too fast.
But that's what it is. They we're bidding on policies that people are a lot sicker than they know about.
Wow.
So when they say this is going to be an 18-month or 24-month, it's going to be a lot faster because they're sicker than what the doctors believe.
And so the policy matures before you can get the papers signed.
And that's happened twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a rare thing, right?
It's very rare. It's completely changed from what it was a year ago.
Wow.
Because a year ago, we couldn't even get a short-term policy.
Yeah.
You know, we were getting 27, 30 months. And they were doing good. They were coming in early, but not as early as these. These are the earliest I've ever seen.
So this is really the time to jump in on this and start getting involved.
That's right. And lots of people are. We've had lots of people, you know, with 401ks. I had one guy that had three 401ks.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been with three different companies. And it can work that way. So whatever the case is, if they want a good, solid return, I think this is the place to be right now. One guy told me, I've spent all my life in mutual funds. I'm tired. I want out.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want the ups and downs anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame him. And we should probably mention that investing in life insurance policies is completely separate than a lot of other options like the stock market and things like that because you don't have that up and down.
That's exactly right. When you're in the stock market, you may make good money for a month or two. You may have a good year even.
Mm-hmm.
But then it can turn on you and you lose all that.
Yeah.
And so then you have to start over the next year. And so a lot of people get tired of that.
And we know for a fact that the whatever does go up must come down. And so if people are riding a high wave right now, this might be the time to take it out while they're ahead. Take it out, invest in something that's a little bit more stable, a little bit more secure. I mean, obviously nothing is guaranteed or anything like that, but this really compared to the stock market is really the safer bet. You'll sleep better at night.
I think you'll sleep a lot better at night, and I think overall you'll make a lot more money.
Yeah.
You know, I think 12% a year is pretty good.
Yeah, I would say that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think on a regular basis, if you can make 12% a year, I think you're doing good.
Yeah.
And then we've got the people that made 27% in 1 year because it came in early. You know, I had one policy that paid off, and they're going to get 36%.
Really?
Yeah. And I went, I think it's the best of all worlds.
And so we're talking about a minimum investment of $100,000, right?
That's right. You have to have $100,000 to start with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to be accredited. You've either got to have $200,000 in income, or you need to be worth $1 million.
Yeah.
And that can be a lot of different things. Not your house. If you have a vacation home, yes, you can count that. Oil and gas, you can count that. Your cattle, your ranches, you know, almost everything. Your 401k, your IRA, savings accounts, all that counts.
So for somebody listening right now and saying, gosh, you know, they're kind of going through their assets in their head and they're thinking, well, you know, I'm not really sure if I've actually got enough. Would you encourage somebody to come in because there may be some things that they're missing?
Certainly. And come in and talk to us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they may have, them and their wife together may have $300,000 in income per year.
Yeah.
So you never know.
And that phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And that is 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. If you are interested in retiring happy, wealthy, and early, and maybe getting out of the stock market, you're sick of the ups and downs, you're tired of getting up at midnight and going online to see what's happening with your money, this is a really a better way to take control instead of just kind of throwing it, you know, haphazardly to the wind in something like the stock market where the slightest thing can affect it. I mean, you know, we see what's going on around the globe. Right now, and there's all kinds of external factors that can make your money, you know, it can grow or it can probably more than likely lose.
Well, and it's because we can't control it.
Yeah.
Had you thought about that? We control the stock market, not at all.
Yeah.
And the stock market can be up today. There can be a crisis in Croatia, or Iran, or the North Koreans could be doing some missiles. They might scare everybody.
Yeah.
So you don't know. You can't control the stock market.
Yeah.
And the only thing you control as far as your destiny is having something that you know how much you're going to get.
Yeah.
And with this, you know what you're going to make.
Yeah.
And you know how bad the disease is. You know how sick the person is. And I think that's a better way to go.
So you'll go over these reports with every investor before they invest. So even if you have say you have somebody who's never been in before, they come in, you're going to go over the same reports with them as you have with people who have been investing for 10 years.
Well, what we do is we tell them everything about the policy. And then we send a copy out to them and say yes if you'd like to get in this policy or no if you don't want to get in it. And sometimes people don't want to get in something and it's because they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
We had a policy this week and one of our clients, we sent him out a deal. Oh, no, he said, that's 2.5 years is too long. Well, that's where we've been having all the short ones. You know, I thought, he just doesn't get it.
Uh-huh. And is this somebody that's been with you for a while?
Yeah, and, you know, he should have known better.
So even people who have been doing this for a couple of years still get a little bit confused, still maybe misread the information. Do you sit down and go over with them? Or
lots of times, if I really need them to go in that policy and I think they need to be invested, I'll call them or I'll send them an email and say, here is the facts. We've had more that were 27 months or 30 months come due than we have the short-term ones.
Yeah.
So they made a lot more money because look at it this way. If it's a 27-month and it comes due in 3 months, you've made a lot more money than doing a short-term one.
Sure.
Because a short-term one wouldn't have paid but about 12.
Yeah. So it's almost backwards.
It is. They don't understand the concept.
Yeah.
So I always tell them, if I ask you to go in, you probably should.
Yeah. Well, and the thing to note is that if it's available for investing, you've already gone through every single report. You've gone over page 14. You've looked at it, you know, every line of every report. So you know exactly what's going on.
That's
You're not
going
to invest if it's not.
No. If I didn't think it was a good idea, I wouldn't have bought it.
Right.
So they have to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, did she buy it and not think it was a good policy? I mean, get serious.
You've done this long enough that you know what you're doing.
Well, and it's like this. I'm here to make them money.
Yeah.
If I don't make them money, they're not going to like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're trying to make them money every day.
And one thing to note is if there are any holes in these policies and there are some empty available slots, you actually invest your own. You don't take it away from clients, but if it's there, then you'll go ahead and do it. That's how confident you are. It's not
I like to go in the policies.
Yeah.
But right now, we need every available policy for the customer.
Yeah.
Every available. And so I'm letting them have every bit of it instead of me keeping any of it.
I imagine these policies, there's so many coming in right now that and they're too good that there's not really a whole lot of space for
No,
for
there
you.
Isn't. We need every one of them right now because we've got so much money to invest.
But see, that says something. That's a really big deal to know that you you walk the walk. You put your own money in these policies that you advise other people to invest in. So you wouldn't recommend it to anybody without you doing it yourself.
No, and I think the policies are really good that we're getting right now. I think they're the best we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, it shows by the ones that are maturing is that we are buying fabulous policies and. You know, the LEs on them are good. You know, the companies we use are the best in the industry. Bozzano is the best on cancer. They know cancer. So anything over $1 million, we've got a Bozzano on it.
Yeah.
You know, so we require two on every $1 million policy or above.
So this is not just a guess. This is a very well-educated analysis of every single policy.
I think so. I think we've analyzed it just best as we can.
Yeah.
You know, we've studied it. We've studied it to make sure it hadn't went in remission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to buy a policy that's in remission. Yes, it's going to come back, but we can't wait.
Yeah.
We need one that is ongoing right now, that is metastasized to more than one place.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
When something is in remission, it's probably going to come back. But, you know, I mean, it may take a couple of years. And you don't want to sit your money out there because then the investor ends up having to pay those premiums.
That's right. And lots of times we go in and pay the premium, and then we bill them, you know. So, you know, the premiums are always paid.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me that yesterday, well, how do we know the premiums are paid? We keep a slush fund for premiums. If it goes over, we have a slush fund. All the bank does is just take it out of our account.
So there is a dedicated account sitting right there that's nothing for nothing else except
And all of them, when we do the policy – we set up an escrow right then for every policy and put the money in the bank to pay the premium. So the money's there, you know.
And that's, I mean, you have to, that's probably a reasonable question for everybody because they have to have that confidence to know that there is enough money to cover all these things. All the banks, they've got enough money to cover these things. So, I mean, that's why you deal with reputable firms.
And that's why we set up an account for every policy. We have a Smith, a Jones, a Bernard, whatever it is. Every one of them has its own escrow account.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Mike Irie over at 21st Services, he's the one that's in charge. Mike Irie knows the premium's due. He sends a wire over to the bank and says, have you paid the premium? It's due. Let's get it wired.
Yeah.
And then we can see on our screen where all that money's been wired out.
Wow.
The bank's in charge of wiring the money to pay the premiums.
That is nice and tight.
It is, and they don't have to rely on us to do it. We have a bank. We're paying that bank to do it. We're paying Mike Irie to track those policies, make sure it's paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all cut and dried. It's in the bank. It's going to get paid.
See, I have heard horror stories of not this, obviously, but other situations where, you know, somebody will end up, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, and then the vicious circle keeps going on. None of that happens.
No, because we set it up the right way to start with.
Yeah.
That the bank would be in charge of premiums, that we would not be, that we could rely on the bank, and we see where they've wired it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the people die, again, we call on the bank. We're paying them You know, they're not doing it for free.
Yeah.
We pay them to get the certified death certificate, get it to the carrier, and get the money in the bank.
So what are some questions from first-time investors that you get a lot?
Well, of course, they want to know, you know, how many policies they can get in. Mm-hmm. How do we pick the policies? They always want to know how we pick them. So there's just a lot of questions like that. How do you pick the policies? How do you know which ones are going to pay off? Well, you know, we've got the reports from several people telling us how soon they're going to pass away mm-hmm. and how serious the cancer is. Remember, it's got to be stage four.
Yeah.
If we look down, it says stage two, and we chunk it.
You don't even bid on it.
We're not going to bid on that.
So what is the answer? How many policies can somebody get in?
It depends how much money they have. Mm-hmm. You know, they may want to put $50,000 apiece in a policy or $100,000 per policy. It just depends.
So for like a first-time investor, do they usually start out small just to kind of, you know, see what it is?
A first-time investor may start at $100,000 or $200,000, mm-hmm. you know. And then we've got a lot of people that start with $250,000 and say, here's a small IRA.
Okay.
That's what they usually say. Faye, I'm sorry. It's just a little small IRA. It's $250,000. So, you know, different people think differently about their money
yeah.
as to how much it is, whether it's a small amount of money or a large amount of money, you know?
So if somebody's comfortable with just getting in one policy to kind of dip their toe in the water to see what it's like, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to, you know, go crazy. The thing is though, you're in that policy with other people. So, you know, it's like, you know, the eggs are spread among different baskets.
Well, and it's like this. If it's a $1 million policy, we may say everybody can put in $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or we may say, okay, you can do 75 or 80. It depends how much room we have for everybody that we need to get in it.
Okay. So then when you say that the minimum is $100,000, and then you have these like $1 million policies where people can get in at 50, what's the difference? How does that flush out?
I always encourage people to put 100 because on 100, if it's a 25% gain, you've got $25,000 coming.
Yeah.
And remember, it's half of that when it's 50.
Yeah.
But I'll do it either way. You know, okay. We don't care. And if they don't mind going in at 50, you know, that's fine.
Okay.
We don't care. It's their money. See, that's another thing people don't realize. It's not my money.
Yeah.
It's their money. And when we invest it, we want to make them the greatest return we can.
Yeah.
You know? And we want them to be happy, you know. And we want them to be there a long time till they get ready to retire.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a lot of people have retired this year, and we're taking care of their money after retirement and giving them so much a month in addition to all their investments.
So this is a fairly extensive long-term plan.
It is a long-term plan. And if we get you started on the right path to start with, it'll work really good.
Mm-hmm.
If there was any mishaps at the start, it may take longer.
Yeah.
You know? So it just depends how it started and how it's progressing.
So it sounds like when somebody comes to you at age, we'll just say 50.
Yes.
Say I'm 50 years old. I come in and I say, Faye, I want to retire when I'm 67. Here's what I've got. Here's where I want to be. And you can put, you know, a plan in place, looking at the trajectory of where they need to be. And then you can, you know, invest is aggressively or maybe non-aggressively. You can come up with a plan not only to get to retirement, but then after retirement.
That's exactly right. Because remember, they have to live after retirement. They still are going to need income, and they're still going to need their investments.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to need it both ways.
So
they're going to need cash, and then they're going to need it the other way, too.
Oh, yeah. So after they invest or after they retire, they're still investing.
Yes, they sure are.
Okay.
And we set it up to give them $60,000 a year or $100,000 a year or whatever they need.
Mm-hmm. And I assume by that time the house is paid off, the cars are paid off.
Oh, yeah. When they come to us, usually everything is free and clear.
Okay.
So all they're going to need is just money to live on. And a lot of them say, Faye, I can live on $60,000 very comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of them say, Faye, I need $500,000 a year to live on.
Yeah.
So those, we've got to really turn that money.
Is that based on what they've lived on in the past, like
yes.
their historicals,
uh-huh.
or where they think they want to be?
No. It's what they're living on now. A lot of them are living on $400,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. And then we've got people that are not,
yeah.
you know? And so, and the other thing is, a lot of them have made so much money with us, they're taking a lot out.
Mm-hmm.
a lot more than they were making, and that kind of scares me.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because after they retire, if they, you know, get a little bit aggressive and they say, well, you know, I just want to do this, maybe I'll get a little extra this month.
Or they're getting a lot more extra.
So now we're getting into dangerous territory.
I think so, because this money's got to last 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to take out so much that it doesn't last.
Do they ever, and I know this is a little strange, and this is way out there, but do they ever come and say, you know, I think I need a little extra, maybe I need an extra $24,000, and then they go ahead and invest in another policy to try to make that extra that they took out, make it back?
No, they'll come in and say, I need $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already drawn $60,000.
Uh-oh.
For the year. So that's always kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always a little worried.
Have you ever had somebody do these kinds of things, lose perspective, start taking out a little bit too much, and then start getting into trouble?
Not yet.
Okay.
Never had anybody get in trouble yet. I'm just worried farther down the line.
Yeah, so okay, this
I'm
is
worried
not
about 20 years from now.
Oh, okay. So it's not like next week. They're
No. They've got enough for right now.
All right.
I know we've got enough for 10 years, and I'd like to hope that we have enough for 20.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be a difficult place to be because you never know. I mean, say you plan for 10, but somebody, you know, makes it 20. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe you plan for 20, but somebody only starts to make it, you know, 10. I mean, you never really know when that expiration date is.
Well, and as long as we're investing, I think we'll always have enough if they don't take all their profit out.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm worried about. It's the profit. If they take all the profit out all the time, we just, you know, we got to keep making them a lot of profit.
Yeah.
You know, to make this work that long.
What happens if they do, if they start taking it? Do you say, hey, you got to stop
spending?
I think
we would we'd have a conference.
Okay.
Yeah, we need a conference and say, look, I think we should slow down just a little.
It's time to sit down and talk to Mama Faye.
Yes. maybe we shouldn't take out quite as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do want this thing to last.
Yeah. Wow, that's kind of a strange place to be in, I guess.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every Saturday around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring in neat little facts. Most of them I have no idea what you're talking about, but they're still interesting.
That's right. Well, today we're going to talk about Father's Day.
Perfect.
You know, everybody, we talk about Mother's Day, we talk about Easter, yeah, we talk about all the important dates, but we really do have a Father's Day.
Yes.
Father's Day has been around a long time in Europe.
Really?
Europe is where all this started. They've been celebrating in Europe since the Dark Ages.
Really?
Yes. And it came to us from Spain and Portugal originally.
You know, I don't know why I think of this, but I just think of Father's Day and Mother's Day as American holidays. I don't know why I don't think worldwide.
Oh, no, it's worldwide. And it was really a Catholic deal before it got to us.
Wow.
Only the Catholics church was really celebrating Father's Day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's an unusual deal. And as I said, it came to us from Spain and Portugal many years ago. And it came to our country, and it lasted a little bit, then it was put down again, and a lot of things happened after it came to America. And when it came over here in 1911, June Adams proposed a citywide Father's Day in Chicago. Well, they turned that down. Then in 1912, there was a Father's Day celebration in Vancouver, Washington, by a Methodist pastor. This was always seemed to be like a Christian holiday, even though it was just Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they mistakenly believed that that they had been the first to celebrate Father's Day. And this was a Methodist church called Irvington Methodist Church there in Washington. Then Harry Meek, he was a member of the Lions Club. He claimed that he had been the first one to come up with the idea for Father's Day. This is in 1915.
Wow.
And Meek said that the third Sunday in June was chosen because it was his birthday.
You never want a holiday on your birthday because then you get, you know, half the presents.
That's right. And then the Lions Club named him the originator of Father's Day.
Really?
And, of course, that wasn't true. No. So it went on from there. Then in June 1910, A Father's Day celebration was held at the YCMA in Spokane, Washington. But again, it was just a short time. So then a veteran, a Civil War veteran, William Jackson Smart, he was a single parent. He raised six children by himself. And so they said, okay, the Presbyterian Church, and that's now called Knox Presbyterian Church, they were going to start Father's Day. So it was different people at churches that were trying to start Father's Day. And it didn't always work. So then it came down to 1920. And Dodd stopped promoting the celebration because she was studying then at the Art Institute in Chicago. And so it faded again into oblivion. And then in the 1930s, this lady, Dodd, returned to Spokane and started promoting Father's Day again. Well, by 1938, she had the help of the Father's Day Council in New York City. Well, it started out a commercial. Started out at the menswear companies in New York for promoting Father's Day.
Because they can sell things.
Yes. And so everybody said, we're not going to get involved because they're going to commercialize this day. So, again, put it aside.
Yeah.
Father's Day isn't going to happen. So then in the United States, International Men's Day came up again. And they were trying to start this Father's Day. So then we had two presidents that really finally got involved. In 1916, Woodrow Wilson, he went to Spokane to speak at a Father's Day celebration. And he wanted to make it an official, recognized federal holiday. But Congress resisted again.
Really?
No, no. Oh, yeah. Congress didn't want it because they thought it was become, as I said, commercial. And then Calvin Coolidge in 1924. He said, let's have a Father's Day throughout the entire nation. But he stopped short of making it a federal holiday. Then in 1957, I didn't realize it was that long, Senator Margaret Chase Smith said, let's have a proposal for Father's Day. And she accused the Congress of not wanting a Father's Day for 40 years while they were honoring mothers. Then it was made a purse. Then along came Lyndon Johnson, and he proclaimed Father's Day as third Sunday in June.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a federal holiday. He just proclaimed it. 6 years later, the day was made a permanent holiday by Richard Nixon in 1972.
Really?
That's how long it took from the 1900s, early 1900s, to 1972.
I'm shocked that it started in 1911 and the conversation had to go into the 70s before
something
happened.
Into the 70s.
Wow.
They were so afraid it was going to become commercial with ties and socks and suits.
And now look what we've got, ties and socks
and
suits.
That's what we've got.
See, I really think that whoever planned Father's Day, the date, and when they started to pick the month, was probably a man because he probably figured, well, if you do well on Mother's Day, then that determines how well your Father's Day is going to go.
Well, he might have. And we've come a long way from the ties and shirts and things that men do not want.
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading this week about a wonderful gadget for golf.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have an Android phone to make it work. But this little deal is a genius deal. It's about $250. I think every father ought to have it. Anybody that plays golf, it's a wonderful invention. And the way it works is this little deal, it's got all this golf technology and the latest technology for iPhones and all this. It has a set of 14 light and tiny little sensors that twist individually at the top of your clubs.
Really?
Uh-huh. And you link each one to your Android device or your phone, and it will give you all kinds of information about your game. It'll straighten your game out.
Really? So it'll analyze everything that you're doing wrong?
Yes, because it's in the top of your golf clubs.
Wow.
Each one of these little deals twist in there, and then you've got it on your Android phone, and you can see it. It lights up. You can see it. As you make those shots, you can see where you went wrong.
That is amazing.
It is an amazing deal. I read about it, and I said, every father needs this.
Yeah, I need one of those.
That's right. So I recommend that. That's my deal.
I'm just shocked that somebody came up with that kind of technology.
And there was one other thing that I really liked for Father's Day is a suitcase. Like if you're traveling a lot, on the outside of it, it has your UPS ports on the outside
really?
For a phone and a computer while you're on a plane or you're somewhere. Like, let's say you're at an airport. Uh-huh. You don't want to have to go find a place to plug in, right?
Yeah, hate that.
Okay, it's right there on your suitcase.
Really?
It's on the outside of the suitcase.
Now, that is genius.
It is genius. That's my two recommendations. Now then, if you want to get something that will just drive everybody in the house crazy, go get one of those sloths.
I thought you were going to go with drums or something like
oh,
that,
no,
but
no,
the sloth
no,
will
no.
drive
sloth,
people crazy.
That'll almost get you sent out of the house. You know, as far as I know, there's only two in Texas.
Really?
Uh-huh. And they're not proper for a home.
Yeah.
You know, the one in Austin, the man gave it to his daughter while she's in college. She couldn't take care of that thing.
Seriously?
No. They're too hard to take care of.
You
know, they don't go to the bathroom but about once a week.
Uh-huh.
But they sleep all the time. But they're really for trees. You know, they're a tree-climbing animal.
Yeah.
They eat tree branches. They eat every kind of leaf in the world.
They eat the bark off the tree, too?
I don't know about the bark, but I know they eat every kind of leaf there is in the world.
Really?
And they're not an American, as you know. You know, they're from Australia and different places.
Yeah.
But children love them. And when they see them in a pet store, they just go crazy.
Yeah.
And as I know, there's only two. One in Flower Mound, Texas. And there's one in Austin.
Uh-huh.
And the one in Flower Mound, you hardly ever see it awake. You know, they sleep like 24 hours at a time.
Do they really? 24 hours?
Yeah. They sleep a long time.
Man, I wish I could sleep 24
hours. But they're cute and everybody does love them.
Yeah.
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 But it's an unusual pet. No one ought to have it at home.
If you can catch them awake, they do some fun things.
They do. They do a lot of fun things when they're awake.
Yeah.
They'll climb the trees. They'll do acrobats on it. You know, all kinds of
cool.
things like that. They are neat.
But not for pets.
No. I think it'd be just too hard to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me write that down. No sloth. Do pets not. For Father's Day.
That's right. No yes. sloths. Hey, but my other gadgets are wonderful.
Yeah, they are.
The suitcase deal is a wonderful idea for anybody that travels, and a lot of men do. But having two ports on the outside for your phone and your computer is wonderful.
So I guess there's some kind of like a charging device, battery-powered thing
uh-huh.
inside.
Yes.
Wow.
And then, of course, you just if you have an Android phone, you plug it in and on the other deal,
yeah.
On the golf deal, and that's a neat deal.
That is really cool.
It will really help your golf game.
Yeah.
So that's two deals that nobody would throw away or turn down.
Yeah, I bet there's people out there running around right now trying to find some.
Yes, and you know, I think they're just wonderful. They come from good companies, and one of them is $250. The other one's not near that much.
That's not bad at all.
No.
Wow.
To get your golf game straightened out, it's worth it.
Yeah, really, it is.
And it's something you'd have for a long time.
Well, you need to look cool on the golf course.
I think so.
Yeah.
And everybody would be envious. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
They would be. Saying, where in the world you get those?
People will be wearing T-shirts to say, my dad can beat your dad at golf.
That's right. I think so. So I think it's some good ideas.
Brilliant. That's incredible. Happy Father's Day, all of us. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, and you need to come and make an appointment and come and see us.
And don't forget, if you want to do a little research ahead of time, you can always go to AmericanFinancialMidland.com and see the case studies from past investments. You've got actual numbers up there of the money that people have made, and those are hardcore numbers.
These are hardcore numbers. This is policies, every one of them that's come due so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have this week's up, but we've got all the others up.
Yeah.
And we'll get those up probably next week.
So if you're looking to retire and you want to retire happy and wealthy and early, and you want to make sure that you don't run out of money, because the last thing that you want to do is try to retire and you're wishy-washy. Well, I think I've got enough. But if you think you have enough, you don't have enough.
That's right. You shouldn't have to think about it.
Yeah.
You should know for sure. How much do we have invested? How much are we going to have in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to sit down and work it out.
And this takes some planning.
It does. You can't just say, I hope we make it.
So somebody who has never invested before, or somebody who hasn't really even started a plan for retirement, when they sit there and go, okay, I haven't really planned for retirement. I'm 45 years old, say. I need to, you know, all of a sudden, I want to retire in 20 years when I'm 65. How in the world am I going to make 20 years of money to set aside for retirement in that amount of time?
Well, you have to start investing. Mm. You've got to do hard investing. You can't have it just in mutual funds and guess at it.
Yeah.
You need some that you know how much you're going to make. And that's where we come in. You know exactly what you're going to make on each policy. So that's going to tell you, you can add, you know, if I make 25% here and I make 25% there, you know, how much is it going to take to generate what I'm going to need to retire?
Yeah. And you say, what, it takes 7 years?
Yeah, it takes about 7 years to double your money.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep it invested. And if you're taking out all your profit every time, it's not going to work.
Yeah. So what you really want to do is you want to invest, and then you want to basically bootstrap and put it right back
That's
in.
That's right. That's what most people do.
Okay.
I've got very few that take it out. And the ones that are taking it out are the ones that have already retired. So that doesn't matter.
So they're just playing at this point.
That's right.
It's play money.
It is. It's play money.
Boy, isn't that nice to have some play money?
It is. I mean, everybody does desire that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and is there any point in time where it's too late to start?
I think if you're in your 80s, it's too late.
Okay.
I mean, you should have already got this handled.
So, for the most part, somebody who's in their mid-40s, 50s,
yeah.
It's okay.
Absolutely.
But you need to get started.
Yeah. You don't want to wait until you're 80 and come call me.
Yeah.
You know?
Time's a ticket.
That's right. Need to do it earlier than that.
So for those who are thinking about getting started, what kind of investments are coming up? What do you have on the horizon? What's the next couple of months look like?
Well, we've got a lot of policies that we'll be closing on to get people in. We've got the $4 million one. We've got a $1 million one. And then we've got a lot of little ones we're going to put people in.
Mm-hmm.
We bought a lot of little ones. And they're as good as the big ones. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all money.
Exactly. It's all money. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So if somebody's just starting out, hadn't done this before, and they want to maybe get into a smaller policy, is that what you would recommend?
No, it won't make any difference.
Won't make any difference at all.
It does not make a bit of difference.
All right. But
your percentage is what you're counting on.
All right.
Is what you're going to make.
So and you want to shoot for those 24-month policies and hope they come in a little bit early.
That's the ones I prefer, and I like them because when a 24-month one comes in 12, you know, That's a lot of difference.
Yeah.
And you've made a lot of money.
And so if anybody thinks, oh, geez, I'm going to start investing in life insurance policies and I'm going to get rich in 5 months. That ain't going to happen.
No.
And if somebody promises you that, run.
That's right, because that isn't going to happen.
It's not going to happen anywhere.
No, not anywhere in the world that I know of. No, it's a slow process, 24 months at a time, 12 months at a time, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing.
So for somebody who's wanting to get started, at least come in for information. What kinds of things do they need to go ahead and get?
Well, they need to bring a copy of their 401k or their IRA, mm-hmm. and we need to look at it and see where they're at.
Right.
You know, how much they've got to invest. If you've only got $50,000 invested, don't call us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know.
So and then you'll sit down and you'll put together a plan. You'll say, okay, over the next several years, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put you in this many policies, and then your return should be this.
Yeah.
And so the numbers will be there. And so they can see the trajectory of what's going to happen over the next, say, 20 years.
That's right.
Or however
long. And you know, we can lead them through it and show them, you know, how we're going to make the money.
Yeah.
And how much they're going to need to keep in their account for, you know, when they do retire. Do they need $200,000 in their all-time, $50,000 or $100,000? You know, what do they need?
You know, I got to say that's comforting because, you know, when you invest in the stock market, everything that you make could go away in a heartbeat.
It
doesn't.
That's right. And so it gives them that security and peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a good, safe investment, I think.
All right. Do you have room for appointments this coming week?
We do. We were backed up this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day I had full house.
Wow.
I mean, my secretary said yesterday, she said, I don't believe I've ever worked this hard. I mean, you know, because we had so much going on.
Wow. That's incredible.
This was
a great time to be making some money.
It is. It's a great time. And now is the time to do it. Don't put it off. You know, people procrastinate. I see men every week. You know, I've been listening to you for 3 years.
That's a long time to procrastinate.
It is, but they do.
Yeah.
Men do not ever get in a hurry.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm glad it's not something like, you know, whether I'm going to have the ice cream or not. You know, it'd be melted.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. So for someone who wants to get started and make some money and get ready for retirement, they want to make an appointment this week, what is their phone number to call?
877-588-3330. And come to see us at 3105 Big Spring, but make an appointment.
Don't just pop in.
Don't just pop in, please.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.